Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
What's good, internet? It is February 3rd, 2017, and you are listening to Waypoint Radio. We got through January.
We did, somehow.
Some fucking how. We got through January. The weather wasn't as bad as I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Other things were worse.
Everything else in the world was terrible.
But we have grins on our faces today, this morning, because Patrick was just telling us about a very dirty,
Dirty Talk Jackpot Sam.
Oh. Nice. Good. Okay.
So Sam's going to get dirty. Sam's going to give you the dirty talk before he gives you the jackpot.
Oh.
Huh?
That sounds like a complete package.
That sounds
sign us all up, I think.
How Maybe. Are you all
Sounds
doing?
Like a top daddy.
This, okay.
Top daddies.
Waypoint.vice.com
yes.
for top daddies if that's a
the
question.
The very
you have.
Hottest daddies.
If you have a question like, hey, who is the toppest?
Who is the toppest
yeah.
daddy?
That's a different thing. That's
think
a different,
about your phrasing
oh, we're gonna
there,
on.
Austin.
We're
yeah.
Move on.
Tops and daddies. There's a distinction.
There's a how are you doing,
Danielle? Tops and daddies. I'm doing good. I'm doing great. I'm doing good.
How about you, Patrick?
I'm great. I'm great. You know, I've recovered from my daddy snubbing at my place of employment, but I'm working through it. I'm doing some research. Good.
On daddies?
You know, I don't want to spoil anything.
Just
okay.
a lot of things.
All right.
Just a lot of
Patrick,
things.
Yeah. Patrick, I just, as always, one of the things I love about the job that we have is that we have to juggle a bunch of different things at one time, which is where, like, 2 weeks ago, we were doing, like, a ridiculous bit about whether or not hot dogs were sandwiches while I was editing a story about the Affordable Care Act. And, like, okay, well, that's weird. The same thing was happening, I think, last night, Patrick. We were in the middle of working on a story that is just
tonal whiplash.
Really heavy and also debating daddy.
Yeah. Daddy stuff. Daddy stuff was happening.
That's, hey, so, man, that means we've built the site that we wanted to see, which is
right,
that we can do both.
Yep.
Get
right.
you a website that you can do both.
The Nintendo Switch of websites.
Oh, right. Well, let's hold off until we see how the Nintendo Switch actually turns out, okay? We don't want it to be, like, we want it to be not only ambitious but successful.
Right.
And we'll
I just,
see.
I
I'm
just
not,
mean in terms of you can do in, both.
In ambition,
that's all.
At least.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
you
fair.
Can do both.
That's fair. I've actually done a lot this week in the world of gaming. Okay? I came in this morning, I was like, I don't have anything to fucking talk about. And then I realized, like, oh, wait, no, that's not true even a little
You've
bit.
You've played a lot this
I played Horizon Zero Dawn this week, which is a game that comes out in like a month. I played 4 hours of that. I played a lot of Yakuza. I believe Patrick here continuing down that path.
Yeah.
Fire Emblem Heroes came out this
oh,
yesterday.
I downloaded it. I've not done the Fire Emblem. I've not rolled, as they say.
Okay.
Oh my.
Well, guess what, buddy? I've done more rolling for you. I've done you don't need to roll. Your boy Austin has your back.
This is
how
awesome.
Do I
Daddy
how
talk,
do I get
so
Donnell?
You know.
I had Donnell. I had a
Is it Donnell or Donnell?
I've Donald? Always said Donald because that's in my mind. It sounds like Donald would be like the guy who lives Donald's life would be called Donald.
Yeah,
Donnell
I guess that's
might
true.
Be nice.
Donnell sounds like yeah. There are two like ways that like
yes.
Don Elk was conceived right in the,
yeah.
in the majesty of the Fire Emblem universe, and if he
yes.
was born in to a kingdom. If he
right.
was royalty, then he's Donnell. But
he's
the,
Donnell.
The Donnell who has a,
Donald
who has a pan on his hat.
Hey everybody, I'm Donald. He's
yeah.
great. I love Donald. Donald is the best. Like
the best
no
character in
joke.
That game. I made him. My God, he was just a tank by the end. Oh
yeah, I know. It's great. So
tanky
I want,
Donald. Yes.
So what we're talking about is Fire Emblem Heroes, which is the mobile Fire Emblem game that just came out
yes.
on iOS and Android, and it is a strategy game like the Fire Emblem games, but it's also a gacha game, a kind of a gachapon game. I don't know if you're familiar with those.
I'm not.
Patrick, I know you are because you used to be on a podcast called Match 3 with Gita Jackson.
Yeah, it was all about gacha games.
It's all about gacha games. Listen, she introduced you to at least some not Idol Master. What's the one I'm fucking forgetting? Oh man, I'm gonna get dragged for not remembering. The chat is gonna catch up to this and is gonna be so mad that I don't remember the name of this Idol anime gacha game. Fuck.
I'm not gonna save you on this one.
No.
Just call it Donald. It's fine.
I know a name of one of the songs, which is gonna help me. The internet's gonna come to my rescue.
The Donald game.
It's Love Live. Love Live.
Yep.
Love Live.
Yes.
Okay.
Amanda Cosmos would have had your head.
A lot of people would have had my head.
Oh,
so I know, at the very least, you're familiar with Love Live and gacha games through that.
Yeah, like I mean, yeah. The thing is, I think Fire Emblem might actually be like the first time that a lot of people actually encounter one of these games. Not that you couldn't, like, you know, Puzzles and Dragons and
Puzzles
like
and Dragons is huge.
There have been plenty of these games that employ this concept, but it's, you know, Fire Emblem is different than Puzzles and Dragons. Like, that's a brand that a lot of people play for different reasons. So I think this might be the first time people encounter I think we've talked about this like internally that we're like very cautious about using the term sort of addictive, but like gacha games are actually rooted in gambling mechanics, which are actually rooted in addiction. So like addiction,
like, the study of addiction and like how to manipulate it. Yeah.
Yeah. So like that game is like in a very like real term is like one of the ways that these games operate.
Right. So the way Fire Emblem Heroes works specifically is that it is a Fire Emblem game in a sense that there is tactical combat. There is the weapon triangle that says like, oh right, swords are better against, sorry, I'm gonna do this in my head, spears beat swords.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Swords mm-hmm. beat axes. Axes
yep.
beat spears.
Yeah.
Because you have to think, just you got to think about it in your head. You get in past a spear.
Yeah.
Then
you're in range.
A spear keeps a sword out of distance.
It's all about range.
Right.
The whole thing.
And a sword is faster than an axe. And an axe just like chops a spear in half.
Yes.
So like that's science.
It actually does make sense.
It has that sort of like tile-based tactic stuff, but it also has a thing where instead of just going through the story and getting the characters that show up in the story, a la Fire Emblem, you earn currency or buy currency and then put that into a slot machine, basically, and pull that handle and see what pops out.
Well, and also, like, one thing that people will do in these games is and people have various approaches to it. It's like the first like pull of the slot machine that you do, some people will do that over and over because they don't want to start the game with a weak hand.
Right,
like if you think of it like a deck of cards.
Patrick, so it's like why are you gonna be like some people? I'm right here.
Is that what you did?
Sitting right in front of you.
That's what I'm doing.
So you haven't started the
right
game
now.
Yet. You are still just pulling.
No. That's the game. Pulling is part of the game.
Right, but
Patrick.
Like at some point, like just move on and like play the game, you'll have other pulls.
No. That's not how that works. I want at least – here's what I want. I want someone who's like in my head like, oh, man, that's one of my top Fire Emblem characters of all time.
Which
Donald
is who?
Donald was very close. I got a 4-star Donald. If it had been a 5-star Donald, I would have started the game right then.
Maybe I won't roll until I get a 5-star Donald. Anyone else doesn't matter. I can get 1-stars across the board. If I get a 5-star Donald, don't need anything else.
The best pull that I got – a Marth, a 5-star Marth, which mm-hmm. was like, oh, wow, that's Marth. But Marth is like the most boring dude in the world. I was talking to Janine Hawkins.
He's no Crom.
For us. He's no Crom. That's the thing. He's not even a fucking
Crom. That's like one of the, like, if you were to go into my brain and be like, what's a Fire Emblem joke that Patrick could come up with? That's probably it. Like, I used my one. I'm done.
Right. This is the thing. I was talking to Janine Hawkins, who's a freelancer for us, about this last night, and we were comparing this to Supermarket Sweep, right?
Oh God,
which is a great game in my opinion.
Yes,
it's like actually a great game show, it's a fun game. I love Supermarket Sweep.
It's kind of great.
And
yeah.
pulling on the gacha, like doing this thing of like, oh, I'm going to get 5 heroes at the beginning. It's like running through and like I'm just throw stuff in the thing, and then like at the end you look in, you're like, oh man, what did I get? And getting a 5-star Marth is like getting a really good box of Minute Rice.
Okay,
and it's like Yeah, cool. Thanks. Like, this is just, it's good. Like, rice is a good thing, but like.
You can put it in a lot of different recipes.
He's just
you know?
Bland. So like, I'm going to keep doing it. And to be clear, the way this happens, the way you re-roll isn't just you hit a button and like, oh no, give me different ones. You have to, I'm on iOS. So it means I delete the app. I re-download it.
Oh my God, Austin.
I play through the tutorial. First, I re-download the app. You have to understand, the app is already a lot, is already not huge, but it takes a couple of minutes to download.
Uh-huh.
Then I go into it and I play through the first steps of the tutorial, which are 90 megs to download. Then after that, there's another 400 megs to download.
Oh my God.
So then I play through the rest of the tutorial, which I've gotten, let me tell you, very fucking good at, frankly. And from there, I then get to draw another five characters.
Uh-huh.
And most of the time, it's three bronze characters.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck out of here. Like, none of you are even, like, don't even joke. But I'm starting to think maybe I should have gone with the Marth
pool. Oh, my God.
Or the Donald pool. Because it's been, I've gone through this 10 times so far.
I'm tired and need to go to sleep just hearing about this.
I need
this is
a good,
exhausting.
I need, okay, so here's what I need. I need a Camilla or a Tharja. I need a Lynn or a Crom or a Lucina. I would take what would I take? I would take a high ranking Donald. I would take from if you go back to like Path of Radiance, there are a lot of characters there that I would take, or Radiant Dawn. I would love a what the fuck's his name? Oh my God, he has green hair. He's like half spoilers. He's like not all human.
He's half dragon. Okay.
He has a book. I forget what his name is. I want to say
Goku.
No, what is his name? There's an S. Summer San
Sommelier.
Sommelier. Sumner. Fort Sumner. Draken. Sorin. Thank you, Foben.
Sorin.
Like Sorin Kierkegaard. That's how I always remember it. That's my
little, yeah.
I'm going to put a lot of time in a Fire Emblem Heroes, probably. Like, just
well, what is that time? Like deleting an app and redownloading it. I'm not sure, like, qualify. I mean, it's technically time. I'm not sure that's putting time into the game.
What I'm intimately familiar with now is knowing that it's really polished and that it feels good to move characters around. Because even though I've just done this tutorial a dozen times or whatever, it is nice to have the input that you have here, which is basically you click and drag a character to just do a kind of a quick action, like, oh, just go attack that person. Or you click on them where you kind of tap them once and then tap a spot and then tap an enemy or another like hero to heal them or give them a boost or whatever. And that is really like it feels good to do. And again, we talked about gambling design and addiction, but like it feels good to just move characters around. And that's a good sign.
Yeah, I like moving characters around.
So that's what I've been doing for the last 10 hours. What about you two?
Yeah, I played a little of Yakuza 0. I don't have much to say about it except that it continues to get weirder. I went to a competing. What are they called? Cabarets. In there. Basically, you know, we talked about this on Monday's podcast.
Right?
Yeah. Where a lot of like older Japanese men go to have drinks with pretty ladies. You meet this dude who is just like not wearing barely any clothes and he just dances.
Yeah.
He's just dancing in the corner.
He's dancing. I actually really like that scene. You're playing as a character in Majima who is not a Yakuza. He has a relationship with the Yakuza, I'll say, without getting too spoilery. And one of his jobs is like to go recruit other ladies to his hostess club, to his cabaret. And to do that, you have to like go in there and like find a way to make a deal happen.
Scout it, yeah. Like you're there like trying to pick up on like how things work and like what the weaknesses are of this cabaret that you can kind of exploit.
And that's really cool because it just shows you like it's a really cool way of characterizing him and like getting inside of his head so that when like you're looking around that environment, like, okay, he's putting together shit based on his experience and knowledge. And that's just like not the sort of thing a lot of games just do in terms of showing you the interiority of a character. Also then like 20 minutes later, you're beating up a guy on a bridge. You're beating up people on a bridge because a guy wants to wear a fancy jacket and walk across a bridge and other people don't think he should walk across that bridge with that nice jacket on.
It seems reasonable. That it's a sacred bridge. It needs a certain kind of jacket.
There's also a pants stealer. There's a lot going
pants
on in Yakuza.
Stealers.
You should play Yakuza.
I've been watching my girlfriend play it.
Okay.
And she's having a jolly time with it. You know, she's having a really good time. But it's one of those things where it's like, I'm actually really having fun watching it.
Because
it feels like the kind of game that it's very much a spectator sport as well as, you know, you can enjoy this world without necessarily being the one driving.
Right.
Yeah, it's one of those rare games that, I don't know that you get a whole lot out of actually holding the controller.
Sure.
Like, the mechanics are fine. The combat's fine. But a lot of what you're playing it for is sort of like the story and the spectacle and the weirdness. And so it actually like makes for a really good group game that you don't actually feel like, you know, like compared to like I'm playing, I played like the first 90 minutes of Neo. Like that's not like that, like, or Dark Souls. Like I guess maybe there is some like enjoyment, but like I don't know if I would enjoy that. Like I would just want to be the person who's playing.
Right. Whereas this is like so much of the joy is just like, what the fuck is going to happen next?
So, yeah.
But you've been playing Neo. That's,
yeah, let's hear
I just
that.
Start. Yeah, I just started it this morning.
Yesterday, Danielle looked at me and was like, she'd seen a headline that was like, Samurai, what was it?
Samurai Dark Souls.
No, it wasn't even that. It was like
Samurai Bloodborne.
It was like
Samurai Bloodborne. And I was like, Yes. That sounds cool.
Yeah, and I was like, oh,
I like Bloodborne.
Did you not know what this was?
I didn't. I clearly didn't. I think I had mixed it up with Nier. Neo and
that's
Nier.
Fair.
Also because
I think
that's where
completely
I come from,
reasonable.
Nia.
They're basically
they're
the
really
same
close,
thing in
you
terms
know,
of what
Nia.
You're saying. Yeah.
Nia, Neo.
Great.
So.
Good. So what do you think of it so far in the first 90 minutes?
I mean, it is so utterly blatant in the ways that it cribs from the Souls series. It is clearly doing it because it's just like, who gives a shit, man? Let's just do it. You know, like, I mean, even though, you know, the way that it's like some of the small stuff, like there's big stuff and small stuff. So like some of the big stuff is, you know, it has the equivalent of bonfires. Right. And when you hit one of those, so I haven't hit what it calls a bonfire, the actual equivalent, which I believe is where a like samurai sword is around a bunch of flames.
Oh,
like you,
okay.
They're actually sort of like checkpoints before that that are stations where you can pray and you'll regain your health. It works equivalent to a bonfire, except that you can't actually sort of upgrade your equipment and things like that that you can usually do at a bonfire in a Souls
gotcha.
Game. But it has the exact same mechanic of when you pray there and you get healed, well, all the enemies are back.
Right.
It also does almost the exact same thing of having the in Bloodborne and in Dark Souls 2, where you can use items to refill your health, where the player will sort of like put their hand out and crush it in their hand, and it'll very quickly give you health. Like all of that, exactly
right.
Like Dark Souls. You're collecting. I don't know what they call them in this game yet.
Souls?
They're not souls,
spirits?
But they're souls, spirits, something like that. I don't know the exact terminology. But it's not that you're collecting it from enemies and the way it warps into you, even though that part is very much like Dark Souls. It's the fact that like you will find corpses that have like little souls that are shimmering in the same way that Dark Souls
right.
would
oh,
hide that stuff around
right.
its environment. And so the game is shameless about that. But I don't think in a way that... It's
that's not putting you off?
I don't know yet. It's too early, right? Okay. Like, I've only played the first 90 minutes. Like, I've really just gone through the tutorial. And the first 90 minutes feels very much like it's bothering me.
Right.
It's like, come on, this is really, like, you're not even trying. But the parts that I've got to are parts where I've just starting to scratch the surface on the things that it is doing differently. Like, for example, like, it has you have the ability to change stances,
okay.
Which is not something that Dark Souls does. So, like, you have a high stance, a medium stance, and a low stance. And your low stance, like, you're always blocking, but your attacks are going to be severely reduced. In a medium stance, it's kind of in the middle. And then in a high stance, your blocking does almost nothing, but your attacks are a lot more aggressive
right.
and do more damage. So there are things like that that I'm hoping it will feel more like its own game as opposed to just, yo, Dark Souls was cool.
Right.
Let's make one of those.
There's a thing that a game can do where it brings on board a lot of what another game has set up and then adds a little flourish in such a way that it's like, or not just a little flourish, but can do something that's like, okay, you brought it back into your own wheelhouse. You figured out a thing here that elevates it, or that at least kind of, instead of making it feel like you're ripping off a specific other game, it suddenly feels like that other game established a genre that now is going to be there, and these are going to be the base conventions, and we're going to keep seeing other games do that stuff. And that's tough to do, that second thing. It's tough to convert from like, oh, we're just taking stuff from this game, but actually we're going to do it so well or with such flair that it basically helps to establish the entire genre. When I think about the open world 3D, like GTA clone that eventually just became, oh, it's an open world action game. I don't know that like Saints Row 1 was quite there. Like Saints Row 1 was just like, y'all are trying to make a GTA, but eventually a couple of those games hit in such a way that you kind of stopped saying like, oh, open world quest givers that are around the map is just a GTA thing, and it started being an aspect of that entire genre.
Yeah.
I'm curious.
Yeah, and that's just, I don't know what, if Neo achieves that yet. Like, where, like, I'm totally fine with it saying, look, here are conventions we're taking from so that you're going to, because the benefit of just ripping a bunch of things from Dark Souls is saying, look, you know what you're in for, you kind of know how this game plays,
right.
So we don't need to spend a bunch of time, like, ramping you up. You can kind of just jump
true.
In, and then we can do twists on it, we can do some interesting things.
Right.
I just don't know what those interesting things are yet, and so at least in the first 90 minutes, it in some ways put me off. But the reception from lots of folks that I know that really enjoy the Souls games, have really enjoyed this game. So I'm going to be playing more of it just to see where it goes.
There are definitely a couple of people I know who are like deep into the Souls games at the point at which they're playing them on a different level than what I play them on. I play them and I beat them and I try to beat every boss and I, you know, level up.
And then I move on.
Play something else.
I dip into the New Game Plus a little bit or I'll check out the DLC or something. But I'm not, I tend not to like replay it four or five or six times. And I don't like level up a bunch of different weapons all the way and learn all the different move styles and get into the PvP. But there are people I know who are in that side of the community that during the betas for Neo were like, oh, wow, there's a lot of depth here that is not in the combat in Dark Souls, which isn't even a diss on Dark Souls. They love Dark Souls. But things that have to do with weapon priority or like you know, the way that, that frames of animation get canceled out and all that stuff ended up being like, oh, wow, yeah, you're really into these games. Like, I bet there's room for a niche version of Dark Souls that actually is really, like, not just difficult, but denser in terms of input that, that like, a high-level player can have a lot of fun, like, getting super good at again because they've already kind of mastered the Dark Souls basics. So I'm really curious.
For example, like, in Bloodborne, the mechanic that's really unique to it is that if you get hit by an enemy, if you attack back quickly, you can regain some measure of that health and encourages players to play aggressive.
Right.
In Neo, it's they flip that. So you can't regain health, but there's a way of regaining stamina in the middle of attacking. So every time that you attack, there are these little kind of blue dots that appear around you. And then if you tap R1 while those blue dots are still around, I forget whatever they're calling it, but essentially, like, you can regain stamina in the middle of an attack so that you can kind of continue, or you can maybe you can exhaust yourself where, like, you normally you would use all your stamina up and then you would leave yourself open into an attack. But if you time sort of getting that stuff back in properly, then maybe you can dodge out of the way. Right. So it's a way of, like, you know, often in the Souls games, what they call being greedy is, you know, going for two or three attacks when you should maybe go for one. And often that's because you'll exhaust your stamina. It seems like Neo allows for a play style that, like, you could be a little more aggressive if you're timing the other mechanics right and chaining them together in the correct ways.
That's
fascinating. And so that stuff seems interesting. And there's also, like, there's a big emphasis on, at least so far, on ranged weapons. Like, you have guns and bows and arrows that have multiple types of ammunition, and enemies have weak points. And so it seems like there is some stuff there that I'm only at the surface of figuring out, but that could potentially allow that game to forge a sort of combat identity that makes it feel sort of uniquely its own, even if it's using Dark Souls as a base. And I will give them credit. Like, I was poking through a couple of interviews this morning about the game.
Yeah.
They're not running away from the comparison. No. Like, they're very much saying, yes, like, I guess this concept has been kicking around for the better part of a decade at Koei Tecmo, and then got traction once Team Ninja kind of came on to figure out whatever, but that Dark Souls was formative in finally crystallizing what it is and the kind of game they wanted to make. So, you know, if they're upfront about saying we're using this as a base on purpose, I'm willing to forgive a lot of it. It's more shameless. They're not saying, like, what are you talking about? It's not Dark Souls.
They're not saying this is an established genre. They're like, yeah, no, this is a huge inspiration, and, like, hopefully we're making a good contribution to this thing. And that's cool. That's the one of the directors back at E3, and that was the impression I got, was very much like, okay. Maybe it was at PAX. I don't remember. But it was, like, very much the sort of, like, they know what they're doing and they're being upfront about it. And they talked. He was even talking to me about, like, how the different Dark Souls games that had come out in the course of its development helped, like, shift his thoughts on things and helped the team. And the team went and played those games regularly just because they loved them. So, like, good. I'm glad you're being upfront about that shit, because that wouldn't fly. Like, I think a little bit about the Lords of the Fallen thing when that came out. I forget the name of that studio. They weren't backing away from the Souls comparison, but there was a certain posture that they were taking that was like, and we're elevating it to the next level. It was like, I get it. You have to sell your fucking game. But, like, it almost feels like games like this need to be word of mouth if they're going to be successful. Like, the ones that are going to ape so much from an established genre and then or an established series and then hope to level, like, make things broader or find a new niche, need to rely on word of mouth and not, like, banging their chests.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree. I have one question for you, Patrick. When I heard Bloodborne's the only Souls game that I actually got all the way through thus far, so far in life. And part of that was the world itself being fascinating and having that like really awesome gothic horror that turned into the whole Eldritch horror thing. How is the world? Is the world interesting? Is the lore and the world and the sort of, you know, level design, is that all contributing to your enjoyment at all so far?
It's super early. I kind of just got to the tutorial and I'm in the opening area. But I mean, you know, I mean, the general premise of the game is that like England was able to beat back Spain I'm not sure if they're drawing. I wasn't paying enough attention to the opening cinematic, if they're actually drawing upon history or just saying like, oh, back in the 1600s, you know, England and Spain would fight each other. But the idea is that like England was like able to covertly defeat Spain's like mass armada because they have access to these crystals, and England is hoarding them, and now you're traveling to North America in order to get more of them. So I think there's potential for like something really interesting to happen. But I don't have a good sense of whether that would be if that was part of the reason you played Bloodborne. I know that like I've talked to lots of people that like weren't necessarily on the up and up on Bloodborne's combat, but were so drawn in by the world and how evocative and weird it was that they kind of just found a way to get through it. I don't know if that's necessarily the case for Neo yet, but I will hopefully play some hours this weekend and have a better sense of that on Monday.
Speaking of stamina meters and stuff, are you still playing Punch Club?
Yeah, of course.
How's that going?
I'm playing a lot of it. It's really fun. I'm finding that I'm playing it as I'm like on the way to the gym.
Oh, sure.
Often, and I started boxing again, actually.
Like some people
week,
listen to mixtapes and some people
play Punch Club to get excited about boxing.
About boxing. How's boxing going?
Oh, it's so good. Also, I've been doing a lot of Greco-Roman wrestling lately.
All right, you have to break all this down because you've also been doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Yes. Well, that's the thing. I go to like an MMA gym.
So wait, where are you? What are you specking in? Are you just kind of being all around?
Everything right now.
Can you break down your different specialties for us?
I mean, I'm not at a point where I have any specialties yet. Like I'm a baby white belt.
All right. What about the different like classes and styles?
Okay.
And, so like, help me differentiate.
I go to a straight up MMA gym where we do everything. So we do grappling classes. We do gi and no gi. The gi is obviously it's a gi. Mm-hmm. You know what a gi is. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. It's a special little suit you wear.
That's like a guy from France, right?
Gi.
Gi.
Yeah.
A guy from France.
My buddy Gi, you know. And so we do judo, which is, you know, a lot of sort of throwing and sort of, you know, using your butt to throw somebody over your body.
Right.
Greco-Roman, which is more focused on sort of upper body wrestling. So it's like, you know, you have your grips where you have wrists and like controlling shoulders, stuff like that. Freestyle.
If you want to demonstrate, I'm not going to stop throwing Austin on the floor.
Freestyle, which is like more, you can kind of use more leg techniques. Oh. And Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Is that why it's a freestyle?
Because like, you can go it, the whole legs. Body. Use okay. the whole body. You can grab the whole body, that kind of thing. And Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, which is a traditional sort of martial art that was, of course, you know, the Gracie family was like the royal – it's like the royal family of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
That's why it's Brazilian it's Jiu-Jitsu.
Pretty much,
from Brazil? Is that correct?
Yes, okay. That's correct.
That's why it's Brazilian.
Which is like a very – it's both a sport and a martial art. Okay. So it's like a full – it's a full service martial art.
Like, how do you decide which to practice when? Or is it just like the schedule?
My coach says, okay, here's what we're drilling today.
Oh, so you're just going to a single MMA gym.
Yes.
In my mind, you're
learning
like
all of this.
Seven different gyms.
No.
You would found.
She's like she's gym hopping, like you're going to a bar.
No, I'm going
like,
around.
All right, hey, this first one, we're to Greco-Roman.
That's what I thought. I thought you'd like, oh, I found a Greco-Roman spot. I'm like, the way that, like, if you talk to a foodie, they're like, I found this amazing Greek restaurant.
Yeah.
And like, oh, wow, awesome. Like,
no, I'm at a food court.
This Brazilian place is incredible.
Yes, this is wonderful.
Should try the
Brazilian
paella.
Greco. I really like your foodie voice.
This is my foodie voice.
I like your foodie voice.
I have no offense. Like, I used to live with a foodie, and it was the best, like, 2 years of my life.
I'm sure.
So, like, don't even – it was a very
– Also, your foodie and or your 80s, your 80 years old sitting out, you know, on your patio.
No, that – see, there I would fall into Southern voice. I could do –
Right.
Like,
Southern
as you
on
get
the
older
porch.
And I have a porch, you end up getting Southern in my head.
That's what it is. That's what happens.
Yeah.
You know,
there's a weird mix, I'm sure, but I don't know quite what it is.
It's in there somewhere. It's all in the mix. Like mixed martial arts.
About this?
Yes.
What's the one that you get the most excited for when your instructor is like, oh, today we're doing blank?
I really like Greco-Roman because I really like the whole, like, you're controlling some – I'm small.
Sure.
And, like, pretty much everybody I train with. There's a couple of other women there for sure, which is great. But I tend to be smaller than anybody else I'm working with. So it's really a powerful and wonderful feeling when you can, like, throw somebody who's twice your size. Makes me happy. Or, like, you know, get them on the ground or get them, you know, whatever the technique is, whatever is going on that day. So it's really fun. You know, you get stressed out in life and you go to a gym and throw people around. It's very healthy. Or punch them.
You do a lot of things.
Yeah, it's fun.
I'm trying to think can't find a segue here to anything else, and that's not – I have other things, but it's not –
We can punch the mailbag.
We could punch the mailbag. I just want to talk briefly, though, before we do that, about Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yes, yes.
Horizon Zero Dawn, you also play as a small lady who can do a lot of damage.
That's pretty rad. So I like that.
How's that sound?
Yeah.
I played it for 4 hours. We did a stream of it a couple of days ago where we took footage that I'd captured and used that footage to just talk over it. That will go up sometime today or tomorrow.
Yeah.
But I came away from it, like, really not mixed. Like,
it
normally
seemed mixed.
Yeah,
I think
maybe
that's fair.
Maybe
fair
that's fair.
Say.
I put 4 hours into it, and I played the first 2 hours into the actual intro of the game, and then skipped, like, a middle section. Not a middle section, but an early middle section, like, kind of the end of the intro, like, act. And then did, like, another 2 hours in just the open world. And my, like, takeaway is that, like, I think that game is the thing I thought it was, which can be a really good thing. It can be really not a bad thing, but it can be a little bit deflating of, like, okay, is this thing going to surprise me in some way? And it didn't surprise me in terms of its structure in any way. What I will say was surprising was, like, how fun the boss fights were against the biggest monsters, the biggest robotic dinosaurs and robotic giant saber-toothed tigers and robotic wolves and all that stuff. But the biggest disappointment for me, or not the disappointment, the thing that I'm very curious to see if it stays this way going into the actual game or in the kind of
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Broader scope of the final game is whether or not there is a any humor in that game, whether or not there's any personality in that game, or if it's always going to be and use this term the other day, stoic. Like it takes itself very seriously, and it has really interesting lore. So I wanted to take the lore seriously. I wanted to like really be interested in what happened to that world and what the different factions are and why the different cultures are different. But I want the characters to be like people I want to hear talk.
Yeah.
You know, and right now...
You live in a world of robot dinosaurs. Act like it.
Act like it.
Exactly.
Just a little bit, please.
Give me a little Sam Neill face. Be impressed by what's in
right,
front of you.
Right, that's the thing. Like, you think about something like Jurassic Park where, like, on its face, there's a version of that story that is probably really dry and boring. That is about the science and is, like, a story about dinosaurs getting loose. I almost said monsters, which fair, basically. Getting loose and then killing people and, like, is a thriller, right? And, like, a straight thriller. But, like, there are lots of ways in which that story, Jurassic Park, both as a novel and as a film, like, inject humor and inject personality that, like, oh, wow, these different characters really do feel like people I want to see what they're going to do next just because I'm enjoying my time spent with them. And that is not – that had not been the case with Horizon quite yet. I like Aloy. I think that she has, like, fire in her. There's some interesting things there with her. Like, she's a bit of an outcast. She's literally an outcast at the start of the game and then becomes more integrated in society. Again, I'm not going to give specifics away there. But, like, she kind of resents that fact in some ways where she's, like – there's a way to play that Aloy where – and you have some choices, Mass Effect style or, like, BioWare style of, like – Which part of the wheel do you want to go to? Do you want to be compassionate or do you want to be a dick?
Yeah.
Or it's a little bit better than that. It's like, do you want to solve this thoughtfully, aggressively, or like compassionately, you know, charismatically. And I like that I could play a version of her that's like, man, fuck it. Like, y'all didn't want me when I was just like some kid out in the woods. Like, you wouldn't talk. You literally wouldn't. It was literally illegal for you to talk to me.
Wow.
And I like being able to play the version of her who's bitter versus the version of her who's like deeply compassionate. And I think that there could be some work with her that goes really well. But I just wanted something that's like a little more playful right now, especially coming up against Breath of the Wild, which is also coming out soon after that. So, which, who knows, that could also end up being self-serious, but it's goofy in its visual design in a way that helps.
Whimsical and whimsical light. Whimsical
is, again, a great word.
Yeah.
So, again, you can check out footage of that on the site. And then I also played an hour of, speaking of games that take themselves very seriously, Ghost Recon Wild, Tom Clancy's.
Tom Clancy's.
Please.
Ghost Recon Wildlands. Cocaine Mountain. That part.
Cocaine Mountain.
Is
right.
Unofficial.
That, you only know that part if you pour the cocaine on the game box, and then it shows up. It's like
it
a hidden text.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to try to stream some of that this weekend on the PS4 beta. Patrick, I have an extra code if you want to play
is
that
it
with us.
Is it just multiplayer stuff? I presume that's what they're testing right now.
No, that's that game. It's the first.
Oh.
It's the opening of that game. Straight up, like from the opening credits, you're put into one of like the 19 districts. That game is.
I still don't really know what that game is. Like,
I've played Mercenaries.
A little
one
bit.
One or two. It's like that, where like it's an open world game, and like it's a lot like Mercenaries, which is a game that I liked a lot when I was in college. In which you have like a big target, you got like a one big target, and then below that person is four slightly bigger or slightly smaller targets.
I'll be the person.
You're the person. Well, no, because I need a person up here, Danielle. And then there's like a bunch of other little targets under them. So it's like there's a boss, then there's like a big boss, then a boss under them, and then a bunch of smaller bosses, and then a bunch of smaller bosses.
So like, is there a system at all, sort of like Shadow of Mordor, like, or you're just kind of slowly working your way up through the chain?
My suspicion is, and I'm not that far into this demo, is that you can go after each of the tiniest bosses, which will eventually open up the middle boss, or like the kind of like the faction boss. And each of those, in similar games, in games like Mercenaries and Crackdown, those other bosses gave something to that like mid-sized boss. Like, oh, if this guy is the one who controls all of the ammunition, or like she's the one who has all of the armor, and like if you take them out in those past games, that's what would happen. And it feels like that in the sense of just like, okay, your mission here is to go recover this dude who's been kidnapped, go shoot your way in or stealth your way in, or steal a jeep that is one of the enemy's jeeps and drive through the front gates because they recognize you as being part of that faction. And I don't know how I didn't think about Mercenaries in regards to this game. Just Cause does some of that stuff too, in terms of like building faction reputation and calling in airdrops from rebels. So there's definitely a Just Cause vibe there too.
The Ghost Recon has taken itself super seriously.
That's the problem.
And like,
again,
you know, like Mercenaries, Just Cause, like the game Crackdown, the games you compare it to like have like a deep sense of humor and playfulness to them. Whereas like I think they're putting out like a serious documentary series alongside this game that like looks into the drug trade. So that stuff gives me pause on like the playfulness of a game that is like you should be taking seriously what's happening in the drug trade, and then also like, ha, this big explosion, isn't that crazy? Do it with your friends.
Yes. Oh, exactly. So yeah, that's the thing, is like it's a 4-player co-op game, but even in single player, you're a squad of four. You have three dudes who follow you around all the time. Even if you get on a motorcycle and like drive really far away by yourself, and then you get off the motorcycle, they all spawn in like you're a JRPG party, and you've all just like zoop, like gone into one person. It's really good.
That's my concern with this game, is that how has it been designed for the person like me who is just maybe, if they were to play it, might occasionally play with other people, but like by and large, I'm not going to be playing with like a nightly crew.
I haven't gotten into a gunfight yet that's been difficult for me to play by myself, but you have those AI partners and you can do things like mark targets and then like, all right, we're going to synchronize shots, hold down the X button, and then when the bar fills up, we'll both shoot at the same time.
Oh, that's so, pretty cool.
This stuff like that is pretty cool. It's you know, it also feels a little bit like a Far Cry in that you're using a drone to like mark targets and look at bases. I don't know why there are people dancing on the floor above us. That's happening right now. There's that happened. I'm curious to see that. I'm going to try to play with some people this weekend and some more by myself.
When is that out? Is that out like in the next month and a half?
It's March 8th or something. That's what I'm saying. It's a very busy couple of weeks coming up. But to speak to your point about it being very serious, like, yeah, like, I hope you're ready to kill a bunch of brown people in Bolivia. Because just like, it's Bolivia. Like, it's not, like, fictional South American country. It's like, yeah, well, Bolivia.
That's the stuff, like, that's what makes me think, I don't know. Well, yeah, I mean, I don't mind that it's set there. I just, like, if it's going to be, like, a playful game of, like, the inventiveness right. and the creative ways you can kill people, it's, like, there's a reason that you set stuff like that in more in alternate countries and like playful universes that have a sense of humor that like you can get away with things that feel just a little weirder when it's like, oh yeah, like lots of people are just straight up dying because of an awful drug trade in right. Bolivia.
That's a thing that happens in the world, yeah, right?
Or have a goddamn point, right? You know, like they one or the so, other. Like it's say something
and it immediately and is be thoughtful. Doing, it's immediately know? Doing the like. Both sides.
Oh, thing. God.
So there's – but it might not all the way through. So, like, you have a – you are building a relationship with local rebels who are, like, populist, leftist, Marxist rebels.
Okay.
Like, they – you land and you meet this – you meet a guy who's like, listen, we found our, like, philosopher king. Like, we found the guy who's, like, the guy who understands the philosophy of the left in Bolivia. You need to go rescue him because he's been kidnapped. And as you start to walk away, one of your dudes is like – Captain, how do you feel about helping these rebels? Like, it's ideology like theirs. It looks just like the ideology of the cocaine kings.
Oh, Jesus.
And like, like, okay. And your dude is like, listen, man, I'm not into politics. I'm just here to do a job.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And also has like one voice, which is like one of those things that's funny when the character creation is actually like fairly in depth. There are a lot of visibility character customization options, especially in terms of clothes. There are like a lot of clothes that you can wear.
Not as much as Conan, I assume, but
no, not as much as not as many sliders as Conan Exiles has. There's no endowment slider.
The endowment slider.
That's a great name for
that.
Real slider.
That's the name to name it. That's a hell of a name. But there are like a lot of hats you can wear and glasses and branded gloves and shit like that.
Good.
Like if you want some Oakley's gloves, you can have that. So I'm curious to see how I feel about that in a couple of hours of playing it.
I'm curious to see how that plays out because I have less patience. I've never had much patience for that, for the kind of false equivalency thing.
Oh, right.
But now in today's world, I have
even less.
I find myself having less and less patience for things that are like very seriously taking an apolitical stance.
Well, you know, I spoke to
apolitical.
Totally.
Quotes, scare quotes.
I've talked to people about this all year where like – I was talking to Joel about it actually, our publisher here, about the division and how, you know, right after the terrible shootings at the Pulse nightclub in Florida, in Orlando,
in June,
the division was putting out a DLC and they were at a press event. It just included a segment that was like a gunfight inside of a club. And Joel loves – I'm like speaking for Joel here, but – so apologies, Joel. But Joel loves The Division or like played a ton of it with his friends. Like that's this exact sort of game he loves. But even he like in that moment was like, man, like
–
and not in a way that's like don't make those games. Just like my own personal endurance is – I'm fatigued about these things already. And so the ability for which I can deal with them in this fantasy playful way is reduced too.
Yeah, and there are ways for developers to do those things thoughtfully as well.
Do you think that it's – I guess like speaking back to your point, Patrick, like is there a – I can imagine a version of an argument that says like dressing this stuff up with fantasy South America is actually –
is worse. Yeah.
Or is it actually worse, right? Or is it at least just as bad that like you're whitewashing it. You're cleansing it of like the very clear like ideological position it has. Yeah, or that too.
Yeah. I mean I guess it depends on how the – like I'm curious how the gameplay works out, right? Because like, if there is this playfulness that feels at odds with the seriousness of the – like the story and the context that it's in, then I can see the argument for stripping it of that because you're trying to emphasize the sort of playfulness of the gameplay and you don't want that to have that cognitive dissonance with the story and the gameplay. But it's totally possible this game – gives you this apolitical single player guy that you're playing as, but that, you know, I suppose if it actually finds a meaningful, interesting way to explore, like, quote unquote, both sides of what's happening, like, there's something, like, I want to give the game the benefit of the doubt that maybe it can do something interesting with that and that the character you're playing is just there to sort of witness that in some way. But I guess, the problem is just, the history of video games suggests that does not always go.
Well, and it's tough to it's tough to say something when also you're going to make a 19 you know, a game that has 19 districts, each of which is going to take a couple of hours at least to clear, to move into areas and shoot a bunch of people and move on and shoot a bunch of people.
Yeah.
And when, like, that is the way that you're going to repair this society. Or maybe you won't. Maybe by the end of it, maybe this is secretly a Spec Ops the Line thing where, like, you leave the world behind in tatters and you're like, oh, I guess we've done, we're done. Like, and like, oh man, maybe we were the bad guys all along situation. Who knows? I guess we will wait and see. But I do wonder if there is something in that, in the open world, like, a progression tree system that is, like, anathema to saying something more about the state of warfare. Like, I'm going to play this game for 100 hours, and by the end of it, what's, what I'm going to remember is, like, how good I got at headshots, not, like, why tyrants rise to power. You know? There is a really cool progression system thing in this game. Like, I'm going to be that fucking dude for a second, which is, on top of leveling up, you have to tag resources for the rebels, like medical supplies or ammunition.
Oh, that's
or
neat.
Other stuff, or like fuel, and those are also necessary for your upgrades. So, like, it's not just you level up, and get an experience point, and you can put that somewhere, but you can only put that into something you also have the resources for. So if you want to, like, revive your allies faster, you need to have found enough medical caches or whatever. So
that's cool.
I think it's time for the question bucket.
Let's dip into the old question bucket.
The QB. Because it's Super Bowl weekend!
Who are you rooting for?
That was good,
Who are you rooting for in the Super Bowl?
Fuck the Patriots.
Thank you. I don't have to fire you now.
Come on.
You know where I come from, right?
Let the rest of the world.
You know where I come from.
You can't, Danielle.
You know my people worship.
I know who your people worship. You're in New York now.
I know.
I'm just saying.
I understand.
You're allowed. You're allowed to root for the Patriots.
I don't care that much. It's more for my dad. Okay. It's for my dad. Okay.
That's fine. That's excusable.
That's a good reason. That's a good reason. That's a good. You know what? Then, in honor of you, what's Tom Brady's? What's Tom Brady's number?
I don't even know. That's how much I don't care.
He's seven. What's his? In my head, it's 12. It's 12. There's only one good 12, and that's Randall Cunningham. let's go to number 12.
That's good. I like it.
I have an ethics. That's all I'm saying.
Thank you. My dad appreciates this.
Yeah, he better.
Yeah, he does.
This is a sacrifice.
He's more into baseball than football, to be honest.
I'm looking at number 12 because Randall Cunningham was number 12, because Tom Brady is number 12.
I have a positive attitude. I don't know what's going on in the world, Tom Brady.
Yes. God damn.
I agree.
So this comes in from Bun Bun, who asks, Do you both, so this is an old question, do you all believe Sony when they say that ultra-high def support isn't possible on the Pro? Is it to sell standalone players, promote streaming, save money? Did they make a mistake? And I think there's a broader – I don't even remember what this was in response to, other than there was a feature with the PS4 Pro that wasn't there, which I think was
– Yeah, it was that it can't play Ultra HD Blu-ray discs, which seemed anathema to a device that is called the Pro that should theoretically
be able to do anything
that you would consider a sort of a Pro feature.
Totally.
Yeah, from my understanding, they didn't do it because of it would have cost more, and they were willing to take the hit on people being like, that's weird, but they also looked at the amount of people that buy Ultra HD Blu-rays and went, Go buy an Ultra HD player.
Yeah.
Anyone that cares about Ultra HD Blu-rays probably owns an Ultra HD player or is willing to go buy one.
So I will say the broader version of this question is, do you believe platform holders or companies in general in the games industry when they say, like, oh no, we can't do that? Like, what goes into the thinking when they decide not to do something like that?
I mean, I think it's looking at those metrics. The problem with Sony was that they didn't, specifically with the Ultra HD stuff, didn't have like a great response. Like, there was like there should have been like a better messaged explanation for us. I think it sucks to see stuff like that and know, like, we know the reason you didn't do it. Just say the reason you didn't do it was because not enough people were buying this stuff. But yeah, I mean, it's all, you know, sort of metrics to hit certain sort of like costs and things like that. And we'll, you know, like we saw that with the Nintendo Switch. If they delayed that machine 6 months, they could have had a more powerful machine, but they need to get it out by March. And, like, we'll see that with the Scorpio, you know, whenever that gets unveiled later this year, in terms of, like, you know, the different, what's different about consoles versus, you know, a PC is that, you know, they're trying to hit these cost measures that, at some point you've got to make the cut somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that, like, a thing that ever goes into your buying decisions, is, like, the messaging around something that is, like, you understand really why something is the way it is, but you wonder, like, ah, I don't want to give money to somebody who's, like, not on their A game when it comes to actually explaining what the fuck – why they're doing the things they're doing.
No. Like, if they,
I said it because that seems to be the case for a lot of people who
– I think that's a lot of people that want to say things on Twitter and message boards, but then their buying habits do not match up with the things that they say. The things that they say on NeoGAF and Reddit and Twitter.
That's fair. So let's go. Let's do one more really quick. This one comes in from Athens, Georgia. I was looking up what Matt Ryan's number was. It's two. It's two. And I wanted to do that because it's like, okay, give Tom Brady a chance. Let's give Matt Ryan a chance to ask a question also.
I don't know about this false equivalency.
You're right. Well,
got to hear both football sides.
Got to hear what the Falcons and the Patriots say. I know that, like me, Austin's a huge fan of Mecha and giant robots. I was wondering what games you've run across that really capture the essence of the genre. If you can't think of any, then what do you think a game would have to be in order to capture the themes of classic shows like Mobile Suit Gundam, Macross, or Patlabor? Patlabor. It's like patrol labor. They're like giant
Pat
robots
labor.
That are patrol.
It's a guy named Pat.
Okay. It's Patlabor.
It's Patrick. Patlabor. It's what you do.
It's based on my life, my experiences in the mecha world.
Exactly. I personally thought that the Front Mission games had a really good feel for the war drama narrative and strong characters that made really classic mecha great. I'm really curious what you have to say, and I'm very excited to tune into the show twice a week. With love and Manofsky particles, Lucas from Athens, Georgia. Manofsky particles are why no one uses missiles in the Gundam universe. It's why people use robots, giant robots, because Manofsky particles prevent nuclear weapons from being used. It's like why don't these giant like spaceships just shoot nukes at each other in space?
Yeah,
and the answer is like,
sense.
Oh, Manofsky particles, they prevent any guidance systems from being able to function, and so you have to get really close for combat, which is why people are in giant mech suits.
And humanity did this to themselves?
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, it's actually
no
better.
Aliens in the world. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, we could use some of that in Trump's America.
I think in the world today, like anything that would prevent any possibility of nukes from going off here or anywhere else in the world, would
honestly
be cool by me. I think there have been a couple of really great mech games over the course of the years, and I think there's a difference between there are some games that make you feel really good and embodied in a giant robot. They're like I think even something like RAD, R-A-D, which was Robot Alchemical Drive on the PS2,
good,
where like you literally stood on top of the giant robot's shoulder while it moved around, and like you had like a little control box. It was very like 1950s, 60s, early giant robot anime.
Yes.
Was really fucking cool. But it's a different thing than feeling like the stories of these worlds, which are always like pretty grim about young people being forced into war. And how that intersects, of course, with like love stories and space opera. But like the core of Gundam especially ends up being like, what do we do when you're forced to fight for a thing and like you don't want to fight for it at all? Like that's like the first Gundam story, very much like this is a 16-year-old who happens to be the one who knows how to use this weapon, but also is a whiny 16-year-old and doesn't want to shoot people. And there aren't many games that dig into that because that isn't like – that doesn't line up clearly with I want to be in a giant robot that stomps around and shoots stuff. I think the Front Mission games do a pretty good job, and I think there have been
– I'd make another one of those. I've never played them because those predated my interest in strategy games.
Yeah,
but I would love to play.
They're really cool, dude. Like Front Mission 4 and 5 were really good on the PS2. Front Mission 3 was really good on the PS1, and 4 and 5 were also cool because they did the thing of like splitting and interlocking narratives that were really complex and political, and like it did understand the concept of warfare and politics and how those two things are inseparable in a way that I think a lot of games don't. I'm really excited to see what the next MechWarrior Mercenaries thing turns out to be that recently got announced, and I'm really interested in the BattleTech Tactics game because that I bet is also going to be good. That's by the team that did the Shadowrun Returns.
Yeah, and I played the first Shadowrun Returns and not the like Hong Kong expansion that I heard
Hong
was excellent.
Hong Kong and Dragonfall are both so good. If you ever find yourself with like a week to kill, play Dragonfall.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll happen. Like, let me find that week to kill in my life, Austin. Thanks. That's useful advice. Really useful.
If you ever do, they're really good. They're like so.
If I find myself in the afterlife with play the games you want to play, I've got it.
If you ever,
anyway, those games are really good. They know strategy.
Right. Right. And so I'm curious to see how Battletech turns out.
I have a serious question.
Sure.
About this mech stuff.
Please.
I just started watching Voltron, the new anime.
Yeah.
It's I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
But, like, is the whole mech thing, is it basically, like, a metaphor for adolescence?
That
it's
often
like you're
is.
Becoming powerful, yeah, you're becoming so, like, an adult, but, like, you're whiny and it's hard.
That's one way in which that happens. Like, okay. There is definitely that. Like, there is definitely, like, we are alien to our own bodies and struggling to get control over them. That's one way in which that happens. In one way in which you can tell that story or use giant
that's
robots.
Cool.
Tell a story.
A cool
it is
metaphor.
Really cool.
Yeah.
You know, there are definitely robot anime that lean really hard into the adolescence and kind of hormonal change and where do you fit into society and family and, you know, whatever your gender identity is supposed to be. Like, that stuff is all over mecha
that's,
anime.
That's cool.
There are also mecha anime that are just about, like, shooting stuff.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
And or that are about jazz. Gundam Thunderbolt was really fucking good because it was just, like, interspersed with bop, like, hard bop jazz, and it was just like, oh, this is about mechanics. This is about, like, the motions of warfare and, like, the frighteningly appealing beauty of the aesthetics of gears turning and machine guns firing. And that's terrifying. And it plays that up as being terrifying and, like, people being sent back out to the front lines again and again and again. There are my favorite Gundam ever, probably my second favorite Gundam ever is one called 0080 Stardust Memories. And it's really specifically about the ways in which we are sold war as entertainment. It follows, like, a 7-year-old who, like, at the beginning of the show is, like, drawing Gundams in his, like, notebook and then, like, has an experience, has, like, the next 6 episodes are him, like, meeting someone who has a mech and, like, seeing what war is really about. It's, like, the saddest fucking shit. It's super good.
I
and
really
want to
watch
this. I'll send that to you or I'll figure out a way to get you to watch it. So, yeah, you can do a lot of things. But there is – it's always – almost always about identity and, like, what it is – how do we see ourselves? How do we see other people? I did that. I did a tabletop game show, Friends of the Table. My second season of that was all about robots. And, like, I kicked that off with this question, which is, like, in this world, there are robots. There are mechs that help in – I'm trying to remember my exact quote – that aid in tasks civil, commercial, and military. And sometimes we look up to them and say – we could have built them to look like anything, but we made them look like us.
Oh.
And it's like, why did we do that? Like, why? And that's for me is also, like, the question for a lot of our fiction in the world is, like, why do we make, like, why is Darth Vader like Darth Vader? Why is Captain Kirk like Captain Kirk? Why do we make our heroes and our villains look like the way we do? Why do we make our technology look like humans when we do that? Like, where does our ideology intersperse with, like, our aesthetics? And that's
there's a really good Robert Rath piece on our site
there is,
actually
about
that
this.
Very
yes.
topic.
Totally. So
check that out.
So check that out. Until
look, the only mech game that matters is Metal Wolf Chaos, where
that's a fucking good
the president
one. Uh-huh.
decides yeah. in the middle of a modern civil war, he needs to get in his mech and he needs to figure some shit out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Made by From Software.
Because he has an evil VP who takes over America. And he's like, I gotta get in my secret mech. And
yep.
this is real life.
And we gotta well I don't know that I want Trump to get in a mech right now.
I'm just
is that
saying,
game any good?
I sounds...
always wanted to play that
you
game.
You know who made that game?
Yeah, I know it's From Software. Yeah.
From Software. It's
but, like,
from Software.
Is it good?
Yeah. Yes. It has
okay.
style.
I've always wanted to play it because the
it
premise is the best.
It's a fucking killer premise, and it's really funny and goofy, and, like, it has a lot of character. So it's worth playing if you ever get a chance.
Well,
if you ever get a week.
It makes sense that you like it, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe I'll hate it because it's the director of Dark Souls 2, so, you know.
Oh.
Thanks.
Mech games, Bangaio.
Bangaio is a great mech game.
Oh, that is a great
I like
game.
The Armored Core games a lot. Bangaio is really fun.
I love Bangaio.
Super good game.
Bangaio does one of my favorite things, which is, like, it's all about putting yourself in high risk situations to get the highest possible reward. It's just like a million missiles. And
some of the best, missile sprite work in ever in a video
missiles,
game.
Breast missiles. Got it.
Oh my gosh.
Yep. Patrick,
good weapon.
Danielle, breast missiles, thank you for joining us this week. If you have a question, you can send that in to gaming@vice.com. We'll add that to the bucket. You just use the subject question, and I'll know to do that. Next week, we will be back with some more good stuff. I don't know what I'm going to do this weekend, but probably play some video games.
Some Wildlands.
I'll try to play some
Maybe.
More Wildlands. I'll play some mech games.
Play some mech games.
I don't. I would love to play some mech games.
You know, in that free week.
In that free week, I'll play some more mech games. You can find me on Twitter @Austin_Walker. You can find Patrick Klepek @Patrick underscore Klepek? No, just
no,
Patrick Klepek.
No underscore. Is there a guy that does that?
You
Let's
got in there
out.
Early, huh?
If there is, you should, Patrick, you need to take that right now so that no one, I guess you're verified now, so you, no one.
Page knows. Doesn't exist.
All right, well, you should register that.
Okay, I'm out.
Danielle, where can people find you on Twitter?
Find me, Danielle R.I.
That's easy.
Yeah.
You can find Waypoint on Twitter at twitter.com/Waypoint, on Facebook at facebook.com/Waypoint Vice, youtube.com/Waypoint Vice, all over the internet at Waypoint Vice or at Waypoint. Just check. Just look for us.
Waypoint.vice.com.
Waypoint.vice.com, Bazinga.zone, Waypoint.zone.
New.dunk.city.
And DigitalPyramids.com, you already know what it is. Patrick, you look anxious, like you're trying to say something right now.
No, I'm just okay. I'm thinking through all the URLs.
We have so many URLs. I think someone else set another one up, but I couldn't see what it was. They sent it to me on Twitter, and Twitter just like shrunk it. And someone said, like, this was a good use of my money, and I clicked it, and it just went to our homepage. I was like, yeah, okay.
Does that on Twitter.
It does that. Yeah. So if that was you, you need to spell that out for me, because I couldn't read what it was. Thanks, as always, to Tim Barnes, our producer. You can find him on Twitter at TimBarnes451. And thanks to Bowen, who lets us use his track, Miss You, off the EP, Pale Machine. Find out more info at waypoint.zone/BOEN. We will catch you on Monday, where we have more things to say about video games and the world.
Fuck the Patriots.
Peace.
I'm going to read you a description of a Stardew Valley mod. I just sent an email to the mod creator.
Well, this is going on the internet. Do you want to?
It's fine. I'm not worried about it. Like, I'm not worried of someone stealing my random mod creator from a Nexus Mods story idea. But feel free to. This is called, the mod is called Dirty Talk Jackpot Sam, which I assume Jackpot Sam is a character from the game. I didn't play enough of it to meet all of the suitors. The mod is called is for Stardew Valley. It's called Dirty Talk Jackpot Sam.
Dirty Talk Jackpot Sam.
Yep. Not safe for work. I had to go into Nexus Mods and turn on my ability to look at adult oriented content.
Oh,
it says, if you're married to Sam, this upgrade will cause him to give you a valuable gift almost every day, which is not actually a euphemism. He actually will give you an iridium bar, gold bar, battery pack, or magma
geode. You guys can't see it because the camera's far, but I'm winking. I'm winking at you.
That was a wink.
Wink.
Well, so yeah, Sam's going to give you his iridium bar, if you know what I mean. Anyway, so this mod says...
Iridium bar.
This mod says, Sam will also talk dirty to you, very dirty, not for kids... Like, seriously, which is not, that's not the part that caught my eye.
No?
No.
Oh, my.
The part that caught my eye that said, this character that I've written is, quote, basically a copy of my own husband.
Aw, that's really cute and good. That's really cute and good,
that's
actually.
Adorable.
Which is, that's why I sent a note to the woman that that put this together. Or man, I guess. I should assume.
Who knows?
That's the part that was like, that's really cute and interesting and funny. I would like to talk to you about why you did that. Also, P.S. this upgrade goes very well with the Horny Bachelor's upgrade.
Oh, good.
It's good to have compatibility
of all sorts. It's important.
All sorts of
compatibility. You've got to get your iridium bars compatible.
I shouldn't be shocked that there is like a deep visual novel horny world to Stardew Valley that like makes
anything.
A lot of
There's
sense.
There's always a deep horny subworld to everything.
You're correct.
I know this won't be part of the episode, but I really want to call it deep horny subworld. That's I feel like that.
I think that's a good. Maybe we can add that at the end.
It could
be a little end.
Yeah, well,
you know,
yeah, well,
the music fades.
Tim, can we do
and
that?
Then...
Can we come back to this conversation afterwards? All right, cool.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.